Donna, just to make sure we're in the same key. Okay, from the top.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. We're anticipating a good day as the body of believers, not just in worship and praise this morning, but also this afternoon enjoying a nice meal with one another and talking about the future of the church as well, and making that decision about Tonga's candidacy. So that's going to be an exciting time today. So let's enter into this day together with the help of the Lord. Let's ask Him to bless us. I don't have any announcements. The ladies' spaghetti dinner is coming up in 1 week. So if you haven't registered for that, you'll need to see one of the ladies of Vision about that. And I don't know, has a deadline passed or anything on that? Way past? Okay. I have to say something up here. I don't have any other announcements. I think that's the only announcement I have. But let's stand together, and I want to lead us in prayer as we enter into this service. Lord God, we are so thankful to be here with you today and in your presence. And God, we want to enter the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, as we think back on this week. Even though there may have been difficulties in various ways, God, you bless us. You are faithful to your promises. And if we think about that, we know that we can come into your presence with thankfulness because you have us, you hold us in your hand. Lord, you give us eternal life, and no matter what happens, there's nothing that can separate us from you. So God, we enter your presence with thanksgiving for all that we have in Jesus, and we want to lift your name in praise, God. We want to draw near to you. We want to come into the holiest place, Lord, the spiritual sanctuary, to fellowship with you, to hear your word. And so God, we pray that you'll bless every part of it. Bless the praise team, bless Pastor Phil as he brings the message today. And again, we thank you for Jesus and all that we have in him. We pray in his name. Amen.
Kingdom, multiply it and use it as you wish, Lord Jesus. And God, we also want to thank you for our children here in this church. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, God, as they go right now to the class with Miss Christina, and just pray, Lord, that they would learn so many things about you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, and you'll just be with them, with the teacher, and all of them, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you once again for who you are, and we worship you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
David says in the Psalms, blessed are those who cry out to the Lord. And then he goes on to say that he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayers. And we're blessed when we cry out to the Lord because we know that the Lord hears us and answers. And we come into this prayer segment of our service with that in mind. We have a couple of things that we need to pray for. I think generally we need to pray for everyone who's still struggling with sickness. Donna is down with sickness today, so we want to remember her specifically. And Christina is improving. Her pneumonia is better, she said, but she's still suffering a little bit as well. So we can remember these and some others who are having difficulty. Also Robert, I haven't heard, but hopefully he got his chemo. Okay, good. So we'll continue to pray for him. Also Dorothy, Bruce's sister, has had some improvement in her situation. She's able to care for herself to some extent, and so that's a praise item. We need to continue to pray for her as well, just in her the difficulties that she's facing. So let's remember these things. Join your hearts with mine as we come to the throne of grace today. Let's pray. Lord God, it is a tremendous privilege to come, and Lord, we can't dismiss this privilege that we have, Lord, by ignoring it, by not coming and bringing our requests to you. Lord, you invite us to come because that honors you, it glorifies you, it says to you that we are dependent on you, we are humble. God, help us not to be arrogant. Help us not to have the arrogance of staying away from the throne of grace in our private lives or as a church. God, we come to you with our hands outstretched, knowing that you are the one who gives us eternal life. You are the one who delivers us, and you watch over us. You care for us. You direct our paths in our daily lives, Lord. Nothing can separate us from you. We are here, Lord. We've been drawing near to you through the gates of thanksgiving and into the courts of praise the way the Old Testament people did, Lord. And back in the day, the priests were the only ones who could go further. But today, God, because of Jesus, we can come into the very sanctuary that you dwell in, the spiritual temple, with our needs, bringing them to the mercy seat, Lord. We desire your mercy today. And so, God, I pray that you will help us. Help us as we come here today. We need to dust off the things of the world, to shake them off, Lord, to be refreshed and renewed in our souls. Help us not to be conformed, influenced in our thinking or our attitudes, in our hearts, in our desires and motivations. Help us not to be shaped by the world, but to be transformed by the power of your Spirit and your Word working within us, God. Help us in all of our decisions, in our situations, our circumstances, Lord, our relationships, and all of these things. Help us with your wisdom and strength, and with your patience, God, and the fruit of the Spirit that you are producing within our hearts, Lord. God, we want to bring specifically to you all of those in our congregation who are down with cold and flu. Lord, there are a number, and we pray especially for Donna and Christina, as well as they're both recovering, Christina from pneumonia, Lord. So we pray for others, anyone who is struggling with this virus that's specifically that's been going around. And God, we know that we can get discouraged, it can hinder our work, our serving of you. And so God, we pray that you will deliver us from this sickness, Lord. And if there are others in the congregation who are facing more serious illness, I pray, God, that you will come to them and strengthen their faith and, Lord, bring a touch of healing. We pray for a touch of healing on Robert, Lord. We pray that you will raise him back up and completely heal him, God. We also pray for Bob Larson now that his treatments are ended, and whatever the way is that the doctors are prescribing going forward, God, I pray that you will give direction there, and again, that you will touch him and bring him back to full health. So we know, Lord, that you are compassionate and merciful. You are the great physician, and we trust in that. We depend on that, Lord, for others and for ourselves as well. So God, we are here with hearts that are full and overflowing with thanks and praise, Lord. So much you have given to us, and so God, we want to continue our worship today with hearts that are just expressing our love and our thanks to you today. So God, we want to glorify your name, and we pray that you'll continue to do that. I pray a blessing and an anointing on Pastor Phil too, as he brings the message in a few minutes, God, that you'll use him. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of this glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Pray. Gracious Father, may Pastor Phil's message and preaching come to us today, not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that our faith might not rest on the wisdom of man, but upon your power. Amen.
Good morning. Tonga likes to be a lot friendlier than this one I am. Something that wasn't mentioned this morning was there was an extravaganza held in Collingwood. And some of the young kids that are in that room over there were there. And if you ever get a chance to go and see that sort of production, it was wonderful. We had a great time. And ask the young Mr. Noro how he likes to play the horn. He was up there and he did the best lip sync of playing a horn I've seen in a long time. Yeah. So this morning we're going to look at more signs of life. And I don't know about you, but I always like to try and figure out how did we get here. So we're going to look back at the signs of life and what we've actually spoken to so far. In February the 19th, we started this series with being a brand new creation. And in that was this bit of scripture. And it says, he who keeps Israel with neither slumber nor sleep, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Then we progressed along, and Pastor Tonga on March the 12th spoke to a spirit-filled community. And this was one of the pieces of scripture he used. And it says, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without a wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless. That was from Mr. Spurgeon. He had a lot of good things to say. And then finally, last week, Carl talked to us about how the clay is worked and how it's formed and how we need to be reformed by God as well. And this was the bit of scripture that really struck me from that sermon, and it said, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So all throughout this series, I've really found it to be more than just interesting. We approach this series of preaching in a different way than we did the last one. The preaching team, we got together, and John basically said, and here's where we're starting. And there wasn't much more. And we all kind of went, okay. Like last time we had very specific, this is what I got to get my teeth in. Well, no, this time it was up to us what we wanted to do. And I think it's been incredibly fulfilling for me to watch how it all fits together. Where four men who are not really collaborating, we know what each other are doing, but that's about as much as it is, how it all keys together and fits. So today I want to look at, is God alive? Is he? Is he willing to do life with us? Does he love us? How does he love us? And when we first started this series, being a little sarcastic, I know nobody's ever noticed that about me. That's enough of this chuckling. Yeah. But when we were given the topic, the first thing that popped into my mind was, are there signs of life? Are we talking about a living, vibrant relationship or an autopsy? Are we just dealing with a bunch of dust of a corpse that died 2,000 years ago? Well, let's explore that. The concept of this whole thing that I'd like to talk about today and explore is that God, as part of our relationship with him, will be available to us always. You don't have to make an appointment. There's no office with 100 chairs in it with people waiting to speak to him. You don't have to phone him, Carl, either, and get put on hold for 22 minutes until the next agent is available. No, he's a different entity altogether, isn't he? We're free to pray to him anytime we want to. But the startling part is that he hears it, every single one of them. And although we may not see immediate results that we want and are looking for, he's got us in his hand. He's got us protected. He is our Father. So, this morning we read, or we had Monique read to us. And we're going to read it again. So I'd like you to just, you can either stand or sit. You can pray quietly or shout if you want. Because we're talking to Dad. But I want you to listen to what this prayer that's over 2,000 years old has to say. So we'll begin. And join me if you wish. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that your being rooted and firmly established in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, I don't know how that prayer, and it is a prayer, got written 2,000 years ago when it had a whole lot to do with what's going on in my life this week. So, we've just asked the most powerful being in the universe to come and take up residence in us. And by doing this, we've surrendered to serve him. I don't know what that's like for you, but that point of surrender in my life came more than 20 years ago now. When a man said to me, "What do you got to lose? If I'm right, and this man existed, that died, and then got up, and was alive again, who are you to say no?" I mean, when I saw that, I just said, yeah, right. I know the stories, but they're not stories, they're history. And history and stories are different things. So in this prayer, in any prayer that we pray, I, for a long time, just thought, okay, yeah, everybody else's head is down. I'll put my head down. Yeah, they're all mumbling, I'll mumble. Yeah, but what difference does it make? If this God was supposed to be all-knowing, he already knew what I wanted. What's the point? Well, the point is that if he's living here, and I'm expressing these things, guess what? He is too. He's talking back to me the way I'm talking to him, and there's this other phone line going up into the sky, and Dad's on the line as well. And guess what? His son is there. So I've got the three of us on the line. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's here with me all the time. So, for me, it was a hard concept to get around, that to believe that I was actually going to live with God. I mean, the God of my grandmother and grandfather was this nice man who had long, white, curly hair and lots of it, and a lovely beard. And he was this friendly God who was a grandfather who was, yeah. And then I rebelled against him, and he wasn't that friendly guy with the white hair. There really is a price to pay if you rebel against God. And the trip back took me some 30 years, but I got there. Thank you. God makes promises to us. And he put them in writing that we could see. And they've lasted down through the ages. And this one in particular, I'd like to have a look at. Where did you go? There you are. In Joel, in the Old Testament, God makes a promise to his nation Israel. And the title in the Bible for this passage is the Day of the Lord. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even in on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out the spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. A promise of a glorious future to those who call on his name. This offer was made to the people of Israel. I want that. But I'm not part of the children of Israel in that direct line. I mean, I'd love to have a David in my family tree. But I'm not going to have. So we want to believe in what God can do for us. Jesus was crucified. I can remember thinking about seeing the regular sort of visions of Jesus on the cross. But when I saw it in the movie, The Passion, I cried. To see what crucifixion is, to see that the Romans were so good at it, they could keep you alive for days while you were begging for them to plunge that spear into your side. They were experts at crucifixion. So, the next thing is God delivers on promises, doesn't he? That guy inside of us, that thing inside of us, actually does work. From the moment we invite him in until the moment we draw our last breath, he's busy, he's working, he's caring, he's crying, he's loving. He's supporting. He's reprimanding. He certainly knows how to straighten me out. But he's active. And this is what it says in Acts 1:4-5. While he was together with them, he being Jesus, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I wonder what it was like in that room. Here's a guy who was dead. Holes in his hands, holes in his side. Talking to them. That's hard enough for me to comprehend. But now he's telling them exactly what's going to happen, isn't he? He's preparing them for what's to come. And he's telling them that it's coming soon. So if you're those 11 guys, what do you think? I mean, you've seen what he's done. You know that he died. You know that he's risen. And now he said that the Holy Spirit, something that they've been told about. But if I told any one of you, I'm leaving. I won't be around. Well, at least not for a while. I will be coming back. And while I'm gone, here's what I expect of you. I expect you to live, to be persecuted, to be stoned, to be crucified, to be spit upon, to be hated. And guess what? They all said, okay, we're in. Jesus was an incredible being when he was here. And to think that, I don't think there's much difference in the power of any part of the God we serve. God the Father is very important. He has his roles. God the Son was the creator, the worker, and the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide. What an incredible being. But to think that that being is here because he wants to be. Like, I didn't pay anything for Christ's love. In fact, I did a lot to deserve not to have it. But he didn't care. And last night, as I was puzzling through some of this, he basically says, you're going to be all right. He says, it won't be perfect. He says, I'm not speaking it, you are. But it's my word, and that's what matters. And that was incredibly comforting as I sat there and thought, oh, I'm not sure I've really got this down. But at about 10 o'clock last night, he gave me some peace. And I was able to sleep for an hour till the dog woke me up again. So, we have a God who wants to be incredibly involved with us in our lives, who is so powerful that he could just, and we're gone. But he doesn't want that. He didn't create us for that, did he? So, we need to be ready to receive God, don't we? Because I think that if God just arrived, it would be terrifying. If all of a sudden that voice that I wanted so desperately to hear in my life hadn't been there when I wanted it, but had just said, had just someday popped into my mind, hello, I'm here, and I'm going to control everything that goes on in your life from this point on. If you didn't give him your life, you're going to be terrified. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't come and take from us. He comes to give, doesn't he? He comes to give us life by living within us, by comforting us, by guiding us, by giving us that compass to follow. In Timothy 4, 6 to 10, Paul spells out clearly just what he had to be done, to be ready. And he says, if you plant these things out, if you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. but have nothing to do with the irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness for the training of the body as limited benefit. But the godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. In fact, we labor and strive for this because we have not put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of everyone, especially of those who believe. With God, he promises we're going to have a new life. And I want you to go back and put yourself in the place of the apostles. You're hanging around in Jerusalem. Holy Spirit's coming. Comforter's coming. When's he going to get here? I don't know. How will we know when he's here? Will he look like Jesus? I don't know. Will he look like Jesus' brother? I don't know. What would it have been like to be in that room on that day when they said the fire just danced over them as the Holy Spirit arrived? God was coming to live inside these men. The peace of God, Jesus, who had told them he would send them someone, that the Father would send them someone, was good to his word. He arrived. None of these men had ever had the Holy Spirit indwell in them. I know how shaky and not quite sure of myself I was when I first accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in me. It was a physical feeling, but no, it wasn't. It was an emotional feeling. Well, yeah, kind of. But I knew it was there. I knew it was different. From that very instant, I knew it was different. So what can we do about it? If we invite him in and he arrives, how many people do you think are actually shocked when that happens? I'm going to ask Jesus into my life. Mom and Dad said it, you know, they've taken me to church forever. Might as well do that. Oh, you mean I really got to say it like I mean it? Okay, well, I'll really mean it then. I'll invite him into my life. Bang, he's there. Young people, I think, sort of go, oh, okay, it's just another part of life. I now got Jesus in my life. And then they start to make a difference, don't they? They start being parts of little school plays and community things. And they talk about Jesus. And it becomes apparent that maybe Jesus is in their life. Maybe I only notice because he's in my life. Maybe. So, we've heard about Jesus getting them ready. We think they are ready because they're sitting there, they're waiting. None of them ran away. They stayed and waited. And Pentecost arrived. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that a violent rushing wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were staying, and tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. So here I am. I've done the waiting. I'm a business person. I've owned a fish company. I own boats. I have been a tax collector, I've been a this, I've been a that. These men all came from different backgrounds. They waited, and it arrived. But they didn't do what I did, which was kind of retreat and go, I'm not sure that I did this. Is this the right thing? Yeah, I really meant it, but man, things have actually changed. I didn't think they'd really change. I thought it'd just be the same. I'm sure that went through the apostles' minds as well. But unlike me, who sank back and went, what did they do? They went out and talked to how many people? And how many people came to the Lord? Thousands. Thousands. I can't help but hope that some of those kids that I saw on that stage the other night will go out and speak Jesus to someone. Because they were so pure in what they were doing that you couldn't disbelieve them. What they were portraying up on that stage and what they'll portray in their lives because they know Jesus will be, I don't know, but I can't wait to hear exactly what happens. So for me, believing in living with, having a life because of, and loving God has become something I never expected it to be. When I've been in relationships with people, hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Great to see you. Oh, a little kiss on the cheek here and there. Oh, I'm kind of interested in this lady. She speaks funny, has a funny accent, but I'm interested. Oh, she's one of those God people. I'm not sure I'm interested. That was what happened with me. My wife, who was my wife at the time, why don't we go to church? My mom always took me to church, and my dad took me to church. But we don't go to church. I said, well, I'm not stopping you, but I'm not wasting my time. But she never went, because she wouldn't go without me. I'm sure some of you have heard this story, but when I first accepted the Lord, I didn't tell Liz. It was a secret. For a whole year, it was a secret. I went to Bible studies. I lied to my wife to go to church, said I was going to go show property. I didn't go to show property, I went to church. And then I thought, this doesn't feel right. I need to confess my sin to my wife. So I wrote her a letter. And I started the letter that said, dear, there's something that's going on for the past year that I've got to talk to you about. That's as far as she got in the letter. She stopped right there and said, what have you done? I said, well, I thought you'd be happy. Why? Well, I said, read the letter. Just read the letter, will you? And I was sweating bullets at the time. And she read the letter and went, oh. Well, why did you start it that way and never write me a letter like that again? And I haven't. It was probably one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my marriage, but one of the best at the same time. So if we're going to believe that God lives within us, if we're going to believe that God helps us to love one another and Him, how does that play out? How does that look? Well, there is a promise here again and we can all share in it. And it says, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were made to drink of one Spirit." So, if you believe yourself to be a Christian here this morning, we're all part of that one body, aren't we? And there's a church just down the road this way. There's a church just down the road that way. There's a couple of more here and there scattered around town. And this morning, there's all people just like us meeting there in those buildings to praise God, to honor God. They're all part of the family. We are all part of God's family. All of us can have God come and live in us if we choose to. If we choose not to, my question is the same as it was put to me. What do you got to lose? If Jesus is real and he can do the things that we've seen him do, why wouldn't you believe? And guess what? If he's wrong, if I'm wrong, and Jesus was just a man who died, and his twin brother came and hung around for a while, and then they nailed him on a cross, then I'm a fool. But I don't think I'm a fool. Bit of an idiot, but not a fool. So in wrapping this up, in my own words, this is not biblical at all. But I believe that to live life in love with God, God promises us the best today, tomorrow, and for eternity. So let me pray for you this morning. Father, I know you're here. I know you're in this room. I know you're in every other church in Wasaga Beach, in Ontario, in Canada. Throughout Christendom, you're there and present with all of us. So, Father, for all you do for us, I thank you. For all you're going to do for us on this earth, I thank you. And Lord, for offering us eternity, I am truly grateful. So Father, for every person who's taking even just a moment today to think of you, bless them. Bless them by turning their lives around the way you've turned ours around. And we ask it all in the Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. It was really good. Church, we'll all stand together as we sing our last song.
Lord God, we are so thankful for your word this morning and your Spirit that uses it in our lives, God. God, we're thankful that you have made us alive. Lord, that you live in us and through us, that you love us and you love through us. God, thank you for bringing us into your kingdom, giving us eternal life, God. So we are leaving this place today with awe and reverence and joy and love in our hearts. God, celebrating all that you have done for us in Jesus, and we thank you for him. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of fellowship. God, I pray for the time of fellowship that we'll have now as we gather around tables to enjoy a meal together. I pray your blessing on that. Thank you for all who have contributed to that and the way you provide for all of our needs. And we pray that you'll bless us in our time together and in the meeting afterwards. God, may your spirit guide and direct us. And we thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. And we'll need some men to help.